scripture reading for tonight. First of all, from the Canons of Dort. We turn to Canons of Dort chapter 2. We read just one article there, article 5. That's page 934 in your Psalter hymnal, the back part of your Psalter hymnal. Article 5 of the second main head of doctrine, or what I call chapter 2. Chapter 2, article 5, page 934. I'll just read that, and then we'll turn to our scripture reading, which is from Acts chapter 13. The mandate to proclaim the gospel to all. Moreover, it is the promise of the gospel that whoever believes in Christ crucified shall not perish but have eternal life. This promise, together with the command to repent and believe, ought to be announced and declared without differentiation or discrimination to all nations and people to whom God, in his good pleasure, sends the gospel. That's all I'm going to read from the Canons of Dort tonight. And then to our scripture reading for tonight, that's Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, verses 42 to 48. That's page 1716 in your pew Bible. And I'll read this passage. I'll say, "This is the word of the Lord." And the congregation together responds, saying, "Thanks be to God." Acts chapter 13, starting at verse 42 and reading to verse 48. As Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, the people invited them to speak further about these things on the next Sabbath. And when the congregation was dismissed, many of the Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who talked with them and urged them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and talked abusively against what Paul was saying. Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, "We had to speak the word of God to you first. Since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I've made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed. This is the word of the Lord. May God add his blessing to his word tonight. Dear congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, tonight's sermon is about the doctrine of election and evangelism. The Canons of Dort and our call to spread the word and make disciples of all the nations. And with this, I will draw my series on the Canons of Dort to a conclusion. I have covered a lot of material in this series, but here is where I will end: election and evangelism. This is a good place to conclude my series. I mean, evangelism, spreading the word, making disciples, that is the number one calling of the church. No? Absolutely, it is. And so the question is, how does election and predestination fit into all of this? Does election help our task here, or is it a hindrance? Some say the doctrine of election is a hindrance to evangelism. The argument is, why evangelize? I mean, God has his elect anyways. God's going to save who he has chosen to save, and so why does he need us? If you're elect, you're elect. No need to evangelize. It's as simple as that. It is true that some have misused the doctrine of election to somehow get around the church's calling to spread the gospel. I think of the 19th century hard shell Baptists. Remember them? I mentioned them before in an earlier sermon in my series way back in August. The hard shell Baptists, they believed in election. They had no problem with that. As a matter of fact, they believed that they were God's elected few. It's because of that they refused to engage evangelism. It was not necessary at all. They didn't want people to join their church. Remember the hymn that they sang at their church? We are God's elected few, let all the rest be damned. There's room enough in hell for you, we don't want heaven crammed. Remember that hymn? This is what they sang. No kidding. Probably not a hymn we would want to add to our psaltery hymnal anytime soon. It's amazing, though, actually, it's scary how something so biblical like election can be twisted around so bad. Congregation, does the canons of Dort affirm evangelism? Does the doctrine of election promote evangelism? The answer is a resounding yes. Absolutely. The Canons of Dort has like 5 chapters to it, right? You get chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Guess which chapter the subject of evangelism first comes up. It's first brought up in chapter 1. Chapter 1 has 18 articles in it. Guess which article, guess which one of these 18, it first brings up the topic of evangelism, our calling to spread the word. Which article? You're probably getting smart now. You're going to say it's probably Article 1. Good guess. It's not Article 1, but it is Article 3. In the very third article of the entire Canons of Dort, does the canons bring up our call to share the gospel? Article 1 talks about how we're all sinners. We all deserve to die. Article 2 talks about how God sent his Son. Praise his name. Article 3. Talks about how getting the message out is so utterly important. This is what Article 3 says. The preaching of the gospel. In order that people may be brought to faith, God mercifully sends proclaimers of this very joyful message to the people he wishes and at the time he wishes. And by this ministry, people are called to repentance and faith in Christ Jesus. For how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without someone preaching? And how shall they preach unless they have been sent? It's right there. That's Article 3, or Chapter 1. So some people have this weird notion that the Christian Reformed Church or the Reformed tradition or maybe our own doctrines, our own confessions, or even the Canons of Dort does not believe in evangelism. Such a thought is ridiculous. Of course we must get the word out. Listen again then to that Article 5 of that Chapter 2 that we read tonight. The mandate to proclaim the gospel to all. Moreover, it is the promise of the gospel that whoever believes in Christ crucified shall not perish but have eternal life. This promise, together with the command to repent and believe, ought to be announced and declared without differentiation or discrimination to all nations and people to whom God, in his good pleasure, sends the gospel. Is the Canons of Dort a hindrance to evangelism? Absolutely not. So, how does election serve evangelism then? Well, to answer that, what we need to do is distinguish again between God's plan from eternity and the means God uses to work out that plan. God has a plan. God has the elect. He knows who they are. He knows that from eternity. But when he works out that plan in human history, he uses certain means. He uses the preaching of the gospel. He uses evangelism. He uses us to spread the gospel. That's the means God uses. That's the method, the tool, the way God works out his election plan. It's as simple as that. Understand then, it's because God's elect are out there, it's our job to go out there and get them. This is completely biblical. I think of our passage from Acts chapter 13. What's this passage about? What's the context? It's about gospel proclamation. And so Paul and Barnabas are preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. And then what do we read? Verse 48, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed. Hear that? All who were of the elect believed. God has his elect out there. It's our job to bring the word to them. And when they hear it, they will believe. God has designed it that way. That's how it works. So election is not a hindrance to evangelism. No, it's an incentive. God's elect are out there, and so with confidence, we can go out there and preach the gospel. God's elect, they will come. Election is an incentive, but there's more. Election is all. It also means that you were chosen for evangelism. Hear me out on this. God's elect, they're not just chosen for eternal life in the future or whatever. No, they're also chosen to do a certain task. Election means you were chosen to do evangelism. God chose you to do evangelism, and so you must go. And we can go with confidence because his elect are out there. And when they hear the gospel, those who are appointed to eternal life, they will come. I think of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. We looked at that text this morning, right? Peter says there, but you are a chosen people, right? You're elect. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. That's why we're chosen. You are chosen to declare his praises. You were chosen to do the task of evangelism. See how that works? Election is the incentive for evangelism. And so my series then ends really on this note. Everything rather culminates right here. The church is chosen unto a particular task. We must spread the word. God's elect are out there, and we must fetch them. And here's then the good news in all of this. God will gather them in. He will even use you to gather them in. He will make it work. All those appointed to eternal life, they will believe. This is good news for us. Absolutely. You know, we often feel very nervous about evangelism, right? Sure, maybe that's because so often we think it's always in our hands. Evangelism totally depends on us, so we often think. Well, you know what? It's not true. Actually, can you imagine if it was all completely in our hands? Well, then we would fall into two extremes. One, we would feel very, very insecure. Since it's all in my hands, we say, you know, I'm not going to do evangelism because I'm afraid I'm going to screw it up. I'm going to make it worse. That's the one extreme. Or two, we have the opposite extreme. We think we are so good at evangelism, that we think we have what it takes to turn people into Christians.
I have the talent.
I can coerce, I can argue, I can manipulate people into becoming Christians. I can do it. We see some of this with some of our TV evangelists. When it comes to the altar call, some of these guys almost rant and rave. They scream and they badger people, almost coercing them to come to Christ. Everything depends on their efforts, and they think they can do it. Well, you know what? That's all wrong. And in this, we make everything way too complicated. So here's the good news. Everything is in God's hands. He's in control. God has his elect out there, and they will come. And they will come when we also do as we are commanded. When we do our part, God calls us to do evangelism. We are chosen to do evangelism. And so our part is just to be obedient. Our part is to go out there. Our job is to be faithful, to speak the word when we are given the chance to. We don't have to use all kinds of gimmicks or tricks. We don't have to twist the Bible, bend the Bible, do all kinds of games to make them come. Our job is just to share the word, and God will do the rest. Those appointed to eternal life, they will believe. I think of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, very important passage here. Paul says in verse 2, "We have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." In short, just share the word, and God will do the rest. You might be surprised what God can do. You know that there are many stories of this. Stories of missionaries bringing the gospel for the very first time, and the people just believe. Have you heard of these stories? Missionaries, they go off to these very faraway places. They live in the culture for a while. They learn the language. And at the right time, they explain to these people of this culture that they are ambassadors of Jesus Christ who has come to save them. And how do the people respond? They say, "Oh, our forefathers, our ancient forefathers mentioned that someday some people will come to tell us about a special Redeemer who will save us and our children." And the whole community believes the gospel, and they're all saved. We hear these stories from missionaries. In this, we see how our God is so absolutely sovereign. In such situations, God was setting things up. He was softening their hearts so that when the missionaries would come, they would believe as they were appointed to. You see how all of this gives us confidence in our missionary task? I think of the Christmas story. I think of the story of the wise men. Jesus is born in Bethlehem in Judea. And there are these wise men from Persia. Persia is like hundreds and hundreds of miles away from Bethlehem. These guys are pagans. They don't know the gospel at all. But God placed it in their religion, this idea that a bright star in the sky means that a great king has been born. And so these Persians, they follow the star. And they arrive in Jerusalem. and they talk to King Herod. Herod, whose chief goal in life is to kill every and any king, he tells them to go to Bethlehem, and they do. And there they find Jesus. They meet Jesus, and they worship Christ, the newborn king. Congregation, if God can use a star in the sky, an impossible, terrible Herod to lead a group of pagan wise men from Persia to worship Christ, the newborn king, he can also use you. And so this is the connection between election and evangelism. God's elect are out there. And we have been chosen to go out and spread the good news. God will even use our broken words. Those appointed to eternal life, they will believe. That's our comfort. That's our confidence. God will build his church, and his kingdom will come. May we do our part for our comfort and for his glory. Amen. Amen. Let's sing in response. Our hymn in response is hymn number 525.